Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. We're back online. We had a little technical difficulties in the studio. Once again, welcome to the Man Talk Show. Brother Darryl, you on deck?
Yes, sir. I'm online.
Yeah, sorry, once again, yeah, we had a little difficulties. We had a thunderstorm, I believe a transformer got hit in our area, which will knock this whole damn area out. But anyway, it happens. Once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Nash. And we got my brother, the one and only from another mother, Mr. Dow Harrington. What's going on, my brother?
Brother, it's been a good week. It's been a good week. But it's a crazy world we live in. How you doing, my brother? You good?
Man, I can't complain, man. You know, we're making a lot of moves, man. So I want to just give a special shout-out to the other brothers. I know they're busy. Brother Eddie, L. Fairley's. I know he's busy doing what he's doing as far as with the talk show, TV show. And my man, Brother Hassan Blythe. We shout-out to those two brothers. They still grinding, but they're always behind the scenes doing what they do.
Absolutely. Much love for you two brothers.
Okay, okay. So, Brother Dow, the topic this week, man, we're going to sleep in. We're going to dive right into it. Hope you don't mind, bro.
Nope, let's do it.
Well, the topic, you know, we discussed from the gate, the topic's going to be about the our land of the free. The reason why I said that, our land of the free. Wow. Oh, this is a big shout out once again. Big shout out to Sig also. Much love out to her, of course. She's one of the heavy supporters, of course. Just to Sig, you know, we know you're always on the grind. You know, we should look at some last. We got that.
You know, the signature is there.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, land of the free. The reason why we said that, because it kind of coincides with the pressing news situation. As everybody know, we got the Trayvon Martin trial going on with this gentleman. I'm going to say gentleman because I have some choice words because, you know, I'm learning to control my personal feelings because, you know, everybody's innocent to proving guilty. But, you know, with the facts on the table right now and what goes on in our society in America, we really have to start looking at is this really the land of free? Is the law bended, you know, or certain rules applied to certain people? You know, whether of color, whether you're from, financial status, whatever. You know, land of the free. I mean, where are we from? Are we really allowed to walk and talk and dress the way we want to dress, whether young or old, in certain areas, regardless, without being stereotyped, profiled, or targeted? Land of the free. You know, yeah, I believe there was a recent vote also that the Supreme Court just did. You know, that's a whole other subject I know, brother, that we're going to dive into as well because that's another thing. The
yes,
land
sir.
Of the free. it's just remarkable. I just thought that topic, that alone can kind of get us propelled into this subject. So let's talk about Mr. Trayvon Martin's case was going on, brother. I'm going to turn the baton over to you because I really want to hear your perspective. And I know you got a lot to say about this topic, and I'm definitely chiming in with you on this one.
Okay, here we go. The George Zimmerman murder trial. Let's get something straight. This is not the Trayvon Martin case because Trayvon Martin is dead.
Yeah.
He was a 17-year-old boy who went to the store for a Arizona tea and a bag of Skittles, walking to his father's house, and is assassinated. I'm going to repeat the word, assassinated, on his way based upon the profiling, the racial ignorance, the hatred of whatever term you want, the judgment of George Zimmerman. This is why this young man is no longer with us, based upon the actions and the decision-making of one man. Now, the state of Florida, along with many other states, have a law, and it's called Stand Your Ground.
Hmm.
Stand Your Ground means that as long as you feel that you are in a situation where you could be harmed, you have the
mm-hmm.
right to defend yourself with deadly force.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what George Zimmerman claims happened to him on an evening where he calls in to the police tells them, him witnessing, what he deemed to be a suspicious character.
Hey.
They told him to, okay, we're aware of it. He said, want me to follow him? They told him point blank, no, do not follow this boy. Let us, we're on the way, just stay clear of it. No, that's not what he did. What my man did was he went behind him, he confronted him. Now, that's and we know that he shot him to death. Those are the facts that nobody's disputing. Nobody's disputing the fact that George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
There's no disputing that. What is being disputed is that whether or not Trayvon Martin attacked George Zimmerman, thus George Zimmerman defending himself kills Trayvon Martin. Now,
right.
If anybody's been paying attention to the beginning of this trial, okay, we have a grown adult man,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily a small man either,
okay.
approaching a 17 slender. I'm going to use
Slender, right, because his nickname was Slim. His nickname was Slim, right?
You know, boy, who the boy is on the phone with his friend Rachel, talking
okay.
to her, saying that I believe some dude is following me. Then she tells him,
right.
you know, are you sure? He said, yes. What should I do? She told him to run. He said, I'm getting out of here. Now, he tries to get out of there. Next thing you know, she hears the phone drop. She hears a scuffle, and that was it, according to her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the last person to speak to Trayvon Martin in his life.
Right.
Now, there's other 911 calls where they hear screaming, and you hear screaming in the background. You hear somebody
right.
screaming. It doesn't sound like a grown man scream. There was not a lot of baritone
right.
in that voice.
No, right, exactly.
Now,
I'm sorry, but go ahead.
No, but basically, I'll tell everybody, you know, draw your own conclusion. To me, this man had very little regard. He looked at Trayvon as a troublemaker. Those kids.
Right.
He profiled them, plain and simple.
No, flat out. Now, and it is the crazy thing about this, man, is the fact that, you know, they said, well, you had a hoodie on. My understanding was raining.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, exactly.
My understanding, it was raining, so it was justified for him what he had on. He, you know, okay, it's raining, I got my hood on, you know, whatever. You know,
right.
and then, you know, also, it's disturbing as it was, they actually told the pictures, but, you know, that's the truth of the matter. He got shot dead in his chest.
Absolutely.
You know, he got shot dead in his chest, in the front. Wasn't shot in the back, shot in the front. He was confronted. He had
Absolutely.
A weapon out. Now, I don't know about you, brother. If somebody confronting me with a weapon, my hands is up, or I'm fighting. Either or. I mean, however. I mean, to each his own. I mean, but, you know, would you run if somebody's chasing you with a weapon? You see they have a gun in their hand? Wouldn't you want to
yeah,
run
look.
First?
Of course. Of
yeah,
course, he's
so
got a gun.
He had, and maybe, and then now, let me ask you a question. Did it come out now? Did it come out in the case? I don't know yet. I'm trying to follow part of this case on this. Did it come out that Trayvon was boxed in the corner, or did he ran out of real estate to run away from? You know, because I think the argument is, well, he was close to his house. Why did he get there? My point is, did Mr. Zimmerman box him away from his path to getting to his home?
I would say that's probably the case. Like I said, we haven't gotten that far as of yet. So far.
But you see what I'm saying, right? But you see what I'm
yeah,
saying.
No,
like they said
exactly
he was home.
Saying.
Now, obviously, a kid's going to run home. He's not. I don't think he's going to sit there and try to run, get into a heavy fight, especially, you know, he's headed home. And if he gets mm-hmm. shot in the chest at some point, I doubt if, you know, I don't know, I'm drawing my own conclusion. I doubt the young man who's being chased by someone with a weapon is going to try to confront him. And all he has is some Skittles in the Arizona tea.
Exactly. You're not doing much with some Skittles in the tea. That's for sure.
No, exactly. So I find it highly unlikely that this 17-year-old slender young man with a bag of Skittles, a phone in it. Now, mind you, he has a phone in his, probably a phone in his ear, Arizona in his other hand, and Skittles in his pocket. So he talks to the young lady. Am I correct?
That's what was happening.
All right. From my knowledge of Arizona teas, they're light color. They don't look like a weapon.
Nope.
And if he got a phone to his ear, so what? At what point does he pose a threat?
He doesn't. I mean, this is not even about him posing a threat. I mean, he wasn't feeling threatened. I mean, where he said the threat came in was in the altercation. But there never would have been an altercation if he didn't approach him.
Because you know, I'm hearing both sides. Well, you know, he felt threatened. You know, first of all, I mean, let's just be honest, man. And you said it correctly. The fact is, he was told. He called the police. Police told him to cease, stop,
yep.
don't follow. Flat out, they told you don't do it. And you just said, you know, I'm still following, despite legal advisement from police dispatch. Stop following. Someone being dispatched to your location.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at that point, I don't even see how much argument you could possibly get. He posed a threat. Yeah. But you were told to stop and cease. You're the one
That's
with
it.
The weapon.
Absolutely. He's the one that's carrying. He's the one that's carrying. One that's carrying, yeah. So,
yeah, exactly. Now, in you know, I say land of the free. You know, the area you live in, my understanding, I mean, it's not a heavy crime area, right?
Nope. It's in a gated community. It's in a gated community. Yeah.
Gated community.
I mean, he's in a neighborhood watch in a gated community that the father, Trayvon's father, lives in. It wasn't that, you know. He wasn't in, let's say, he wasn't visiting relatives from down south for the summer. You know, he was at his father's.
Mm-hmm.
He was at his father's house, left his father's house, went to the store, got his tea, got his Skittles, and was returning back home. It's 7
mm-hmm.
o'clock at night, 7 o'clock in the evening. Went to the store,
mm-hmm.
got the Skittles, coming back.
Right.
Now, he said that he was lurking around, acting suspiciously. It's raining.
Yeah, did they ever say at any point during the trial, or if it ever came out, what was he doing that was so suspicious?
Well,
did that ever come out?
We're not going to get there or go there until Mr. Zimmerman takes the stand, and I cannot wait for this day. Today,
but are they gonna let him be on the stand? I mean, it can hurt him now. If you're now, I'm playing devil's advocate. You're playing, you know, an attorney, and I'm pretty sure. Sick. If you listen, I'm not sure if you've dealt with the criminal aspect of it, but from my point, that can actually hurt the defense on what he said. He can actually, you know, incriminate himself.
You can't perjure yourself if you don't take the stand.
Yeah, absolutely right. So I think that's definitely a decision at this point, because I know just based off this young lady and with the interview when they was cross-examining her today, they really tried to belittle. I mean, yeah, it was a great piece that ABC Nightline was talking about. They said, yeah, she may appeared not as educated, but she was very in tune and had control of what she did and didn't do. Because they were trying to cross, they were trying to get her all jammed up, they were trying to go at her intelligence, but, you know, she basically got raw. And listen, I didn't say that, I didn't do this. I was speaking to him, he said he was being followed by, what, I believe a creepy cracker or something like that?
Right, yeah, I think that was pretty much it.
Right, exactly. See, you know, and the part, you know, coming back to the basis of what we're talking about here, you know, the land of the free, you know, has society made it where people like George Zimmerman can do this or profile or target many minorities like this, and let's just change it. What if he was a white young man? You know, a white young male, a teenager.
Let
you know,
me make
hanging out with some friends. Does that make a difference?
Wait, let me make something perfectly clear on this one. In my opinion, I want people to chime in on this. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. Call in, whatever. This is open forum. By all means, share your thoughts. Here's mine. If this was a 17-year-old white male shot by an adult black male, they would have arrested him immediately. If there would have been media coverage, it would have been, you know, this monster who destroyed the life of this innocent youth. If they could give him the death penalty, they'd give him the death penalty.
Okay.
They would throw him back
to
jail. It would be all over. I mean, the egregious part in this was it took MSNBC, it took Michael Bazin, it took Al Sharpton, it took everybody and their mother in order just to get George Zimmerman arrested. I'm not talking about, you know, convicted. I'm not talking about going to trial. I'm just talking about being brought into police custody. Just to
that's
be
true.
Part of the custody.
That's true.
If it were you or I guarantee you, my brother, it wouldn't have took any of that. The second that the police respond, I am standing there with a gun over a white boy. And I go, yes, officer, I'll put a bullet in him.
You may not have been living the talk, brother. You may not have been. Matter of fact, I think we got somebody on the line. They just, I got the question mark on the switchboard. Let me turn, click this over. Okay, let me see if you get this on. You're on the line with the Man of Talk show. Hello?
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 This sounds like Miss Jig.
Hello? It is.
Hello, Miss Jig. Good afternoon. Good evening.
I went to go do a run and decided to walk. I'm glad I did.
How are you, darling?
I'm doing fine, gentlemen. How are you?
We all right. We're working hard and grinding right now. That's it. Working hard and grinding. How are you? How was your day?
Oh, my day is wonderful.
Awesome.
Just wonderful.
Good stuff. Awesome. Well, you know what we're talking about, the Trayvon situation.
Yeah, I've been talking about it with different people all day. The good thing is I was talking about people that didn't know what I did for a living. Y'all like to challenge us. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. First of all, I'm not a damn criminal defense attorney. That's my dad's rule. But I will say this. You guys, quit giving credit to that damn hoodie. He could wear a hoodie if he wanted to. Hell, I wear a hoodie and jeans to work every day in the fall and the winter. They're warm. If it's warm enough, if it's cool enough to put a hoodie on, you damn straight I'm putting a hood on. So that whole hoodie thing, who does not wear a hoodie? Everybody wears hoodies. It's the lifestyle of college kids. It's the way people roll nowadays.
That's it.
So that whole hoodie thing and George Zimmerman saying, we're out on the hoodie, you go straight to left hell.
No, absolutely. But it's crazy.
The whole hoodie thing.
They brought it up in a trial.
I know. And the whole hoodie thing is what really, it pissed me off. I wore hoodies for 6 months straight after the Trayvon case. I have hoodies I can wear in the summertime because of this case.
I don't know about the summertime. I don't know. I'm with you.
Yeah, that's sheer.
It's hot.
They're sheer and they're thin. I could actually wear them in the summertime. But the thing about it is, okay, I don't want to give any credit to the whole hoodie situation.
No,
I don't want to give any credit to the fact that George Zimmerman walked in the police station after the incident, and they let him go because at the time they believed Zimmerman in the self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Automatically, if it's self-defense, they're not going to arrest. If it looks like self-defense at first, they're not going to arrest. What they took their time doing was completing the investigation. That's the whole thing.
that baffles
they
me.
They took
sick.
Their
I mean,
all sweet time completing that investigation.
And me being an investigator, I mean, me personally, you have to investigate any case regardless. You know, how can you determine it's a self-defense if there is no initial investigation?
Okay, I'm talking about when the incident first happened. When the incident first occurred, when the incident first occurs, though, they go by what they see at that time. They don't just start holding people. You can't hold somebody unless you're ready to charge. They're not. They weren't ready to charge at the time. Because to be truthful, when you first look at it, off the bat, it looked like self-defense. It wasn't until the 911 calls came into play and everything else came into play and all that where you say, wait a minute, somebody needs to be charged. And he's being charged with murder, too. It's not. He's not getting a chance to claim self-defense. That's not what it's about. And you guys are talking about it as if he was walking around brandishing a gun. He wasn't. He was just following him. And Trayvon had on a Bluetooth, so his phone wasn't to his ear. Not that that matters, but, you know, you do technicalities, let me tell you, so I'm going to get you on it.
Well,
but
I mean,
the whole thing
you,
is...
These are the things that they brought up in the case. I mean, just looking at the trial today, because I was watching the trial, we've actually been following it and actually having it as part of our course study when we have worked as investigators. And I know that it was part of the face and the defense when he talked about the hoodie and suspicious activity. That can actually be used as far as...
If you're
going to
profile somebody on a hoodie, you got to profile everybody of every walk of life, every race, creed, and color. I see hoodies everywhere.
I agree. No, I agree. But, you know, us being up here definitely in this region, you know, we see everybody in multiple hoodies. But that does not mean that they're guilty. You know, I definitely agree with you on that part, Sig. You know, it's just the fact that that we're bringing to the front as far as what they're saying about the hoodies, about the what he had in his hand, he felt threatened. We're bringing that part because we're feeling that at this point that, you know, he was profiled. You know, we feel that, you know, did he be able to walk around his residential complex without fear? I mean, this young man, whatever, Zimmerman, dude, whatever the hell he called himself, Neighborhood Watch, obviously he's been doing this for a while. As far as targeting people, because they have several calls of him calling to the police, reporting suspicious activity. And the police has also said that, you know, they didn't take a lot of his calls seriously, because he was always that type of person. Oh, this person's suspicious. This person's suspicious.
And, you know, every freaking neighborhood watch got one of those overzealous people that they made a mistake and gave a license to be shooting people with. Really.
Mm-hmm,
every
mm-hmm.
single one of them have one. Neighborhood watches need to be governed. I'm sorry. They just do. They need
to
be governed.
That's actually a very good point. That's a very good point.
Then we would not have a dead child in the ground over some petty crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that little girl, well, not little girl, that chick Rachel.
Yes, Rachel.
Yes.
She had, you know, I mean, she was the last person we talked to. Her demeanor on the stand just reeked.
Yes.
She had attitude, the roll in the neck, the way she was saying, sir, all that wasn't called for. She would have came off more credible if she just would have said, I told the mom this because of this. But this is what I told the cops. And they had been done with it.
But do you think that a lot of that came from the fact that as a witness, she was not prepared correctly?
And that was my next comment I was going to say.
That's on the prosecutor. You don't prepare your witnesses, you screwed yourself. If you don't tell them how to act, I don't care who you put on the stand. You can put Ghetto Fire Boom Chica on the stand. She better come off like Kathy Chapstick. She better. Her presentation, she was their key witness, and that's the scary part. She was their key witness, and she did not come off as a very good witness at all.
Absolutely, but that's what I'm saying. Don't you think that, okay, you're going to give her an example of what she's going to receive in cross-examination? That's, I mean, any prosecutor worth his salt is going to do that, especially with their star witness. This is not like this is, this is like the defense's witness. This is their witness. You see what I'm saying?
I think the opening statements, I mean, really, the things that they say, I mean, seriously, come on now. The whole thing is just, they're trying to make it a circus. The judge has one transcript. They're looking at another. The whole thing is just, it's out of control.
I mean, you got one doing knock-knock jokes. That was
That was Don West doing the knock knock joke. And then,
yeah.
Then John Guy is the one. He was cussing. I mean, seriously, this case is about the murder of a 17-year-old male.
I think that they watch too much damn Matlock. Yeah, as an attorney, when you're doing your opening statement, all an attorney does is they have a flair for convincing you to believe what they say and seeing what they say they see, what they get paid to say they see. If any attorneys out there, if I just piss you off, kick me out the Bar Association. It's what you do. You do nothing but perform. Attorneys make the most money, the ones who get the best performance. A good attorney could be a damn actor. I'm just being honest. But for them to come into court with a murder to charge and act the way they did, there's just no way. No way. Not joke. We're totally stupid.
Now, should the judge have got control at that point and, like, you know, trying to do some advisement to the attorney that they won't be tolerating the court because it's not a kangaroo court?
If it's not something that she found, if they did not operate outside of the canon, then they can basically make an ass of themselves all they want to. As long as they're not outside. I mean, that's with them and their bosses and their clients. That's who they're going to answer to for that if the judge does not reel them in. So that his telling, I've never seen either one of these two in court before. I have no idea how they normally are. I'm praying that's not it.
But, I mean,
the whole thing is just out of control. As far as I'm concerned, the trial is out of control.
No, I mean, then how can we reel it in where the jurors can get a good, solid, you know, trial without with all the extra clowns, you know, crap that's going on? How can it be reeled in? Is it the judge, or is it the prosecution, or is it just a combination of everybody getting their crap together? So this is a serious case.
Okay, a lot of times what happens to a defense attorney, and this is sad to say, a lot of times what happens is you spend all your time getting ready for court and because of what your client told you. Everything is based on what your client told you. So you prepare the best defense possible. You decide on a line of defense and you go. Day or two before the trial, when they come and tell you something different, you still have to do your job.
Right.
And now you got to shoot from the hip because this fool lied to you or didn't tell you the whole truth or whatever the situation is. And Zimmerman's attorneys are acting like he told him something different a couple of days before court. That's just the truth. If you say, okay, I did this, but, you know how we tell our kids, I can help you and be by you if you tell me the whole truth?
Right.
Attorneys are going to tell you, don't tell me nothing I don't need to know. In case they have to put you on the witness stand, they cannot suborn perjury. Okay, fine. But there will be times when something will happen. A couple of days before your trial, I don't care what kind of attorney you are. If you litigate, this happens. You get a different story right before you walk into the courtroom. That's when you have to decide how good of an actor or actress you are because you're going to have to perform to pull that off.
Okay.
And you're going to have to circle the wagons from there. Zimmerman's attorneys appear to be trying to circle the wagons, but they're flabbergasted.
It appears that way. Now,
that's the way he's acting.
Now, Six, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
All right. Do you feel that Don West's demeanor with Ms. Gentile the first day was vastly different than it was the second day?
Yes, and it was. The second day is where he should have been the first day. The whole thing became about she's their key witness. He needs to discredit her. She lied. She out and out lied and tried to go back.
Right.
He needed to discredit her and not that demeaning, belittling crap he was doing. I don't know what he was doing the first day. I don't know what crack he was on. Did he not have enough coffee? Whatever happened, that was unacceptable to me.
I mean, frankly, what he did was he made her a sympathetic figure.
He really did.
Basically, he shot his own self in the foot. I mean, she gave him enough rope in order to help his client. She did.
Right.
But what he, by being so condescending, being mean-spirited, whatever, you know, whatever way you want to look at it, whatever way you want to define it,
it backfired. I mean,
it really did. I mean, he made himself look like a fool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the end of the first day. It looked like, okay, this man is picking on this little girl. First of all, she's 19.
Right. It looked like that. It did like that. Everybody was talking about that. Everyone was saying it did like
that. She's 19. She's not a child. She's really 19. Okay, fine. But, and there's a couple other things. I don't think they really did all their homework. This girl, English is not her first language. That's why she wasn't understanding the questions.
It's her third language.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. That's why I didn't even know. I mean, I'm glad you said that. What is her ethnic race?
Because that's why if you read her Twitter pages and everything, because I had to go do some research on her when I watched the trial. I was like, what the hell is wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, English is not her first language. It's her third language.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder she seems illiterate to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Spanish is her first language. Just had her give her testimony in Spanish. It made a whole lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so, but
wow.
Even that, I mean, even with that, you know, and I hate to say it, me and my daughter was talking about this earlier. I said, the thing that is, when something happens, it depends on what that action was, what that terrible action was, what the race is. You're praying before you see all the details. Please don't let it be one of ours. Please don't let it be one of ours. But she sat on that witness stand and came off like Boom Seeker from the ghetto with all attitude in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
That coupled with what you saw her posting on Twitter and all that, you're like, this chick is illiterate. She's a big liar. You know, she does this, she does that. So you kind of gave no credibility to her, and you're like, oh, my God, she's their key witness. But if you find out more about her, she really was a credible witness. English is her third language. She really did not understand the questions, not because she's literate, because she doesn't speak English.
Right. Now, can she read? I mean, this morning, I mean, they said she couldn't read the writing, I guess cursive writing the letter. You think that
she can't read
right?
cursive writing in English.
In English, right. Right.
So
she cannot read cursive writing in English. The letter that was written to the mom was from her. The letter that was written to the mom was from her. Her friend wrote it, but it was in English and it was in cursive. She can't read that.
Mm.
Had it been in Spanish, she could have flowed with that. Of course, the mom didn't speak Spanish. But they're not giving all this information. You've got to dig and find out. As the defense attorney, I would have found out.
Right.
And if English is her third language, I need an interpreter here because I need the questions to be asked to her in this language. I need a court reporter that. Huh?
You're right. Now, I mean, see, you're absolutely
it's Friday,
right.
It's 6 o'clock.
Now, what Darryl said was absolutely
Friday,
correct.
It's
I mean, shouldn't the prosecution prepare their key witness before? I mean, shouldn't they have done something or their research? Anything?
They should have. And you wouldn't think that they would have. And that's why I said the whole thing just looks like a big circus. It just looks like a big circus. I feel like people did not do all of their research. And the fact that this is such a high-profile case and it's not televised, but it's streamed live for everybody to see. And
mm-hmm.
every little thing that you do and say is going to be tweeted about, put on Facebook, and it's going to be in the news and in the papers and everything. All of that makes a big difference.
Let me ask your opinion. I mean, based on what you've watched so far, the case, what you know about the case so far, what you researched, what is this going to hurt? You know, the family of the victim, or is it going to benefit this gentleman? You know, Mr. Zimmerman.
Her testimony and the way Wes was acting, they feel to me, just based on that, without having a legal analysis done or anything. They canceled each other out.
Mm.
I mean, but the fact that the judge went back and had her do her testimony in Spanish, and that's going to, I think she still holds weight as their key witness.
Okay.
And
okay.
It makes me, at that point, because I had an aha moment, because I was like not liking her. I'm like, how the hell is she their key witness? She's their only witness. You know, where did they get her from? Did they not? And I'm thinking, oh, they prepped her. They told her what was going to happen. She just got on the stand and decided to be black. Okay.
Right.
And then when I found out more about her, I had an aha moment. Aha, that explains a whole lot. I would have handled that totally different as far as interviewing her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My other question I have, and I would love to get down here and ask somebody, is why was her first accounting of that phone call told to the family? Why was her first accounting not told to the police?
Really? That's a good question.
She talked to the mom before she talked to anybody else.
And in fact, that's how the authorities found out that she was on the phone with them. Was from the family. It wasn't some investigation or anything of that nature.
Right. Their attorney brought her in. And I'm like, why did she talk to them first? I don't like that. That doesn't seem right. You're talking about if my son was one that got shot and you were on the phone with him,
mm-hmm.
It's two parts to me that's going to play into that. Yes, am I a mom pissed off? Yes. Are they going to need to lock me up to keep Zimmerman from being the next dead person in the ground? Yes. But if you come to me, I'm going to have to back off of that and send you to the police.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't need your testimony tainted. I know that this case is going to be tried in the court of public opinion first.
Right.
I know mm-hmm. this case is going to be tried in public opinion first, and all that. I know that. So I'd have to look at it two different ways. Everybody doesn't have rational thought, and as a grieving parent, the first thing you want to know is why, what happened. I need information about my baby. She should have went to the mom last.
You want information right away. I mean, you do. I mean, you really do as a parent.
You do. I mean, you're the parent.
Right,
that's your baby, you know. But see, and then at the same time, the mom didn't come to find out about him missing until the next day. I got a problem with that, too.
To the next day? This is ridiculous. I mean, before we go into the small break, guys, I just want to ask you a question. Is this a common issue throughout America with black males or black people in general, or people of color being targeted? I mean, does it look like it's going to be on a downside at any point?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Now, this case right here. Let's say, hypothetically, Zimmerman get off. Let's say he gets off from this case. He doesn't get charged or anything. Maybe he gets charged with a different charge, you know. He gets charged with something different. He basically beats a murder charge.
As far as I know, he's only going out for one charge. I think they're going all or nothing on that murder, too. I need to check, but I think that's the only charge.
Oh, that's the only charge.
I don't know. Don't quote me. I got to check. If that's the only charge, it's either yay or nay.
Hypothetically, he gets off with this. Could this be a bad situation throughout America or throughout the land that we live in that people can use this type of defense and use it as a case that, you know, well, Zimmerman got away with it, you know, it kind of justifies his profiling. I mean, could this case, does it have significance? Maybe that's the question I should be asking. Is this case really important to our society right now?
I think it is. I think this case is important to society as a whole. I like to think of people as people and not races. I'm trying to get out of the race thing, considering who my family is.
No, I understand.
But the thing about it is, but I know people look at my skin color and go, oh, she's a black girl. Okay, whatever. But see, the thing is this. It's important. I tell everybody that, you know, whatever. If that's what you want to believe. I know I'm a little dark, but it's the sun a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, with a case like this, because it went to trial, because it has so much publicity from the jump, something has to be done. The standard ground laws need to be reviewed. That's in every state that has them. Seriously, they need to be reviewed. Because if that's the case, I can pick a fight with somebody, they start getting the best of me, I can shoot them and claim stand my ground. Well, hell, I started it.
You know, you're right.
So the standard ground laws need to be reviewed. They need to be revamped, and a whole lot of different steps need to be taken. As far as the profiling, because he was a kid and in the neighborhood with the hoodie on, no matter what happens with this case, that's always going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem as long as we, as blacks, perpetrate it as a problem to them. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because we treat our own the same way. I can be walking down the street in the hood, and I like hanging out in the hood. I don't know why. In the hood, you meet the most interesting people. In the hood, and if I'm walking down the street, and I've done it to prove my point. If I'm walking down the street and I see a group of youth dressed in urban gear, I'm not crossing the damn street. But I sit back and I watch the rest of us, we'll cross the street. Especially if you have a nice outfit on, nice shoes or whatever, you're going to cross the street. I'm not crossing the street. I don't care what I got on. And if you act like you don't want to move, I'm going to give you one chance. Make a hole and make it wide before I put one in you. until we stop acting like our youth are someone to be afraid of and they're just not normal people.
Right, hello.
No one else will.
Absolutely.
No one else will. And that, and I always take the time out to stop and talk to them and to see what their story is and to see where their head is at and to see where they're going. And that's why I tell a lot of them. The whole thing about the sagging thing, I was the person, didn't care if I knew you or not. If you were sagging, I pulled your clothes down. I didn't care where you were.
Mm-hmm.
Until I ran up on a group of young men in the mall, sagging, oh, my God, tattoos, hair, 50 million colors. I went to pull his pants down. He's like, why do you want to do that? We started talking before I pulled his pants down. These kids are working on their PhDs. They have their own .com companies. They explained to me, Miss Siggy, it's a phase. It'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
If you see me and I'm 30 and I'm dressed like this, don't pull my pants down. Just shoot me. I stopped growing in life. And I was like, okay. And that's what I tell everybody. You know what? And he said, I didn't know what you got a point. This sagging thing, there's a lot more to be concerned about what y'all do than y'all sagging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's
I mean,
a lot of
right.
other things
I mean,
going on than them sagging.
Yeah, right.
They need a lot more guidance than that. Luckily, they were doing something in their life, and I do have their information, and I will check on them when they get 30, and they better not be sagging.
Well, I hope not at age 30. You're walking your pants sagging. That doesn't make no damn
yeah.
sense.
But the thing is, until we stop buying into what they think of us first, because they're only going to follow the lead and do what we do.
Well,
no, you're right. But you're, you know, you're
that's
right.
The whole
I mean,
thing.
A lot of times, you're right. I agree. But however, you know, just to add other part, you know, I tell a lot of our young men that we talk to and we deal with mentoring wise, we tell them it's about perception. Unfortunately, we live in a society that as soon as they look at you, you're going to get perceived or looked at a certain way. They don't know nothing about your upbringing, where you're from, what you're doing, but you're going to be perceived a certain way. So I mean,
and you know what we need to do as people? You smile, you keep going. And if they really want to know your story, they'll take the time to find out. Like I said, I go to work in Tim's, skinny jeans, and hoodies all the time. I hate wearing real clothes. I don't care what somebody see me and think of me. People will say it all the time. Or you don't dress like an attorney. You don't act like an attorney. So how the hell am I supposed to act? I paid a small fortune to go to school with some extra years and I deal with crazy people. I think I should be able to act any way I want to.
Oh, Lord.
Right? You're right. We do have to talk to our youth, definitely. But, you know,
I mean,
I just know that a lot of times with our young men, I feel you. I mean, there's certain times where, you know, you walk around dressing hip-hop or some of the kids say hood, there's a time and place for something. You know, of course, you can't wear that to the job place you're trying to get a job because they're not going to hire you, of course. You know, if you're too leisure, you got it like that, then you can do that. Then that's up to you. But then you got to think about it. Do you want your kids walking around like that? Do you want your daughter walking around dressing half naked and stuff like that? And the same ones that I addressed or we talked to, they were, nah, I ain't going to have my daughter doing that. But why is it okay for your girl or you to walk around like that if you don't want your son to do it? Because everyone I talk to like that, especially young men with kids, they all say the same thing. Nah, not mine. He's going to be better. He's going to be a doctor or a lawyer or he's going to be a top. Well, you know, if you're inspiring,
leading and going by whose freaking example. And I mentioned this granddaughter, and she was like, girl was hood all day long, and she was white. You wouldn't know it. I was like, I looked at her, and I was like, what is wrong with you? Smart as I don't know what, but she decided she wanted to be a hairdresser. She didn't want to go into legal profession like the rest of her family. And I told her I understood that. I said, but you got to earn your way to get to do that. And she was like, what do you mean? I said, you see the way I dress? Did your grandfather tell you what I do? And she was like, no. I took her to my office. I pulled up my company website for her. I was like, that's me. I earned my way to this. Trust me. Do what you need to do in order for people to take you serious. Then be who you want to be all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, showing your behind, acting a complete fool with somebody, and trying to stand your ground without any direction, without any purpose, with nothing behind you, you have no weight behind you. So, therefore, he looks at you, he's seeing you making bad decisions, making big mistakes. If you want to do hair, do it in the summer. Finish school, whatever you decide you want to major in, get your degree, get a real job, put some money in the bank. Prove to him that you're not a worthless cause. You want to open up your own beauty shop? I'll be your first customer. And I don't like people playing in my hair. I really don't. But This girl can do some hair. I ain't mad at her. But the thing
is,
you know,
she in her own business? Is she going to get one?
She went back to school. She decided she was going to go ahead and get her law degree. She's in her third year. I've got her internship set up for her. She's going to go ahead and she's going to do it the right way. She was like, you're right. I get what you're saying. I say, I pay my dues in order to act like and be like I am now. Trust me.
Okay.
I pay my dues. You have to walk the fine line. You got to pay your dues. You can do anything, any way you want to, just do it. I do spoken words. Kids see me out there, and they're like, hey, I could work for you. No, you could not. Look at your hair. Look at all the tats around your neck. You can't come to my office looking like that. I get real old school on that. I wouldn't hire you at McDonald's looking like that. You got, if you want to be taken serious, yes, you have an art, you have a gift. If you're not making money in that, you need to go join the corporate world. You need to make some corporate changes. Let the corporate, you ain't got to work for somebody for the rest of your life. Let them give you the money that you're going to need to do what you want to do. Then come at me with the tattoos and the hair. There's nothing I can do but respect you.
Good point. Definitely good point. But brothers, you brought up some good points about that. What do you think at that point? What you were saying?
Basically, I concur. I totally agree. We have to start taking ourselves seriously in order for other people to take us seriously in certain aspects. I'm not saying everybody. Now, let me make something clear. I'm not talking about everyone. Everybody's an individual. Everybody that I think is on this phone right now takes themselves seriously and takes other people's time seriously. But some of us don't. So when other people have a tendency to stereotype us as this or that, is because it's what's glorified about us. Now, a lot of things that people perceive about us as a race is something that Madison Avenue has glamorized. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of people who, you know, go out every day. Bust their behinds every day, work every day, come home to make sure that their family has a better quality of life than they had when they were children. And I would say that that is probably more than half of our story. But when you look at television, what's the story that you see? You see a black male did this, a black male did that. On and on and on and on. But you never hear anybody accentuating the positives that we do.
Thank you. Thank you. You know why? They're never going to say anything positive about us because we don't run to tell the good news. We run to tell the bad. People will pick up their phone and tell you everything bad that happened to Boom Chica and Ray Ray. They will not tell you that in the meantime they got PhD degrees. They will never tell you that.
Exactly.
Blacks do not give blacks credit for what their accomplishments are.
Look. Bottom line, now tell me if you've ever seen this happen. You have a friend, a relative, who came home from prison, and they throw a party. But you have a friend or a relative get their PhD, their master's, and the most you might hear is, that's nice. Good job.
You hear, that's nice. She thinks she hot shit now. I guess he gonna go marry a white woman. Yeah, because that's
right.
The attitude you got. Hell, I'd marry a white woman too.
Hold on. I mean,
no, it's the truth though. When we celebrate the most retarded things, we really do. We give credit and credence to all of the negativity about us because we're trying to prove a point. We're not a bunch of niggas. But if we don't preach that word to each other every 2 seconds and give it validity by saying, ooh, nobody white better not say it, I don't give a damn who said it because I'm not your nigga. I don't care.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It carries no weight with me. And then when we stop giving the negative connotations weight, they will stop trying to use it against us, use it to divide us. And that's what's going to happen with this case, to get back on topic, what's going to happen with this case matters. If he gets off, if he doesn't get off, either way it goes, the way blacks respond in this nation is going to matter.
I think you brought a very valid point right there. I definitely agree. I think that's the most powerful thing you just said, Sig. The way we respond to this will really go far. I think that was very well said.
Because the thing that's scary to me, the thing that bugs me the most is that Trayvon, although he's the landmark case, he's not the first.
Nope.
He was not the last. It happens every freaking day, somewhere.
Why is this case more different than any other case? Now, let me ask you this. There's blacks being killed all the time. As a prime example, in Brooklyn, I don't know if you guys remember a couple of years ago, that young man came out the strip club with, I guess, his boys or something like that, and he got shot by the NYPD.
Before
he wasn't got married.
Yeah, the Bell case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big case. I mean, this, like you said, this happens every day. Why is this case more, I mean, because, I guess, the...
Because now social media took this case and ran with it. The fact that people were not letting it go. And although I don't like some of the things that the mother did, I will say if it wasn't for her and all the marches, and they didn't just have marches. She went to other marches besides the one at home. If it wasn't for all of that and all of the backing, everybody had to put their 2 cents in on it, it wouldn't be such a landmark case. We would not be talking about it tonight. Because when things happen to us, we want to mumble and grumble about it to the wrong people. That's each other. Because all we can do for one another is mumble and grumble about it. If you want to make a change, you mumble and grumble to the world. You come up with valid points. Be ready to discuss. Be ready to appear. Talk about it. Put your foot in it. But we as a people, we don't like to do that. We'd rather just go hang out at a barbecue and talk about how Ray Ray got treated bad. But you didn't do anything for him. You feel like you have no voice. Everybody has a voice. In this day and society, borrow a damn cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens.
That's right.
If we don't speak up about it and demand some results, demand something positive, not just to be a bunch of black people holding a riot, but to demand something positive out of it, nothing positive will come of it. It'll just be another case they throw on page 99, one line in history books 20 years from now.
Wow.
His mom was like, not my child. My child did not die in vain. Not my child. You kill one of mine, the world is going to be in on it. And that's the attitude everybody should have, and not sit back and expect for somebody else to do something for you. People are willing to help you if you are willing to help yourself. Like it says, God bless the child who's got his own. You have your own voice. People will stand behind you. And that's what his parents did.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, you're right. It sounds like this case would have been a case. I mean, it basically sounds like through the social media is the one that gave the light to this case, basically.
Because if it wasn't for social media, it wouldn't have been tweeted as much. You wouldn't have heard about it as much. You would have heard about it later, just not as fast. You know, as soon as everything was happening, we knew what was happening everywhere, no matter where we were. And because of the way social media is and the way technology has changed, you will not go without knowing something unless you're willing to turn that blind eye.
Mm-hmm.
And because if his family wouldn't have been stomping the ground to lead the way, it would have died out. So people are not going to fight for your cause if you're not fighting for your cause.
You know, I mean, I'm gonna ask you guys another question, but I want to go to the quick break first. Before we go into the break, I want to switch around. Dow, you said if the situation was switched, let's say Trayvon was a white male, and we're talking about a black man. There's probably an easy answer to this. Matter of fact, we don't even need to go to the break yet. There's probably an easy answer. I know the answer I'm probably going to hear from you, but I'm very interested to hear your commentary on this. Let's switch around. Trayvon's now a white young male. And George Zimmer's a black, middle-class, male, black man not working on neighborhood watch. What do you think the results would have been?
Wow. Then, because of social media and where everything was, it would depend on how much people believed the shooter then. And it would depend on how much support he could pull together. And it could have been switched around. It very well could have.
Mm-hmm.
I think the investigation might have went quicker had it, if it was that way.
You think it might quicker?
Yeah, I don't think he would have been able to just walk in the police station and walk out.
He definitely would not have.
Not
There's
so
no
fast.
Way.
Maybe after like 18, 26 hours, but not so fast.
How would he have walked out after 26 hours if he would have posted bond? Because they would have thrown a charge on him for something. If he was a black man, that was a 17-year-old white male in Florida, in the South. A white boy is murdered by a black man. I don't care if that black man has a doctorate, a PhD. He's a doctor, a lawyer, an airplane pilot, and a scientist. He would have been locked up automatically. Automatically, he would have been read his Miranda rights and took it in. Now, he may have gotten off based upon he was, let's say, if it was self-defense, and he has good lawyers that he paid for, he would have gotten off. Yes. But would he have been arrested? Yes. Would there have been charges filed against him? Yes. Simply because of the hue that he has, the color of his skin would have meant they, at bare minimum, would have to arrest him. In the South, I don't care how much things have changed, and things have changed to a certain extent. But if you look at the Supreme Court today, you would see things haven't really changed that much from 1965 to today. So, no, he would have been arrested. Now, I'm not saying that that would have been wrong. I feel if you have two people, one with a weapon, one without a weapon, one younger and weaker than the other person, the stronger person is the one with the weapon and the one who's alive, and the other one is dead, yes, I do believe that you should be arrested. I have no problem with that. If it happened to have been a black male and a white youth, the loss of life has absolutely nothing to do with color. Black, white, purple, to green. What I'm saying is that that young black male's life is as precious as anyone else's. Period. It has nothing to do with race. But because of this country and this country's history, it's always in black and white.
Especially in the South.
Yep. In this country, it's in black and white. So we can go on a bus this one.
No, I think with that being said, well said. You know, let's go into a break. I definitely want to return back to, you know, let's kind of get away from Trayvon a little, because I think that we with a whole consensus we got to the point of this. I mean, I really want to kind of delve in a little bit about, you know, the aspect of do we feel free? I mean, because there's some voting going on with the Supreme Court, you know, with the recent thing with the Supreme Court. I just want to touch that down. I know that you're a good person to answer that and kind of analyze that part with the Supreme Court decision with the voting rights that has transpired. I mean, I really want to know a little bit more about that. So some of our listeners. Also, Brick City 9/11 just checked in. He said hello. And also, Sig, you got a shout-out from some of my friends over there in North Police. So they're saying hello to you.
Hello.
I'll let them say hello. You know, big shout out to Brooklyn. Oh, yeah. Before you go into break, listen, Shadow Worlds Radio, man, talk show. Dow, you want to give a quick announcement, or you want to talk about the surprise when we come back?
We'll talk about
break.
The surprise when we come back.
Okay, once again, we'll go to the minute. That's a big one, right?
Yeah, look here, man. We might want to, like, end the last 15 minutes of the show with the big surprise, the show. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. We definitely got something to share with the people.
Okay, yeah, you know, we're taking it to a whole next level. But once again, welcome to the Nam Talk Show, Shadow World Radio. Big shout out to all my brothers, my brother Darryl, brother Eddie, brother Hassan. You know, I love you guys. Appreciate what you do, sister Sig. You know, we love it. We always expect what you do with your input, everything that you do. And sisters that check us out, we love y'all. We really do. So we'll talk to you later in about the next 10 minutes. Let's go to our DJ Crazy Cake. What you got for us, brother?
Shadow. Radio. Crazy K in the booth. You're now rocking with DJ Crazy K in the booth.
Yo, give them the cold shoulder with a hollow tip to match. Bad apple out of the bat, some success with gas. Since a little dude eating niggas full buck 50s. Niggas could kill me, but they coming with me. How about that? Send the queen bee to attack. Only your fly bitch like that can leave him relaxed. Rockin' to sleep, make him think the drama is dead. Yo, I smile up in your face, so I'm fighting instead.
Yo, it's some real shit, shit to make you feel shit. Dump him in the club, shit. Have you out and out when you bump that plug to your ears from the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough. Yo, it's the real shit, shit to make you feel shit. Dump him in the club, shit. Have you out and out when you bump that plug to your ears from the war uncut. Have a nigga OD.
Stuffy with the banger. Wet. Knit it. Go. Shots are stupid. Let that bass knock. Still on your block with it. Street ball of the black top with it. Ball and wall to the pop with it. Cat cock with it. White tee, black socks fitted. Pop the trunk, let the bass knock with it. Like, no team can beat us. We pump diesel. I ain't talking about jeans or sneakers. Wait. Man, we getting it harder. All day, dog, I live in the Carter. Take your time with it. Jump off that. Gonna wanna see me with at least two birds like Jack Triple J. True that, I'm a rat. New Jag on the set. Do-rag on my neck. Breathe. Hey, think I get big, cause all my geeks stay dirty like a project bitch. Whoa. On the lowdown. Bring the hook. It's about to go down, ladies. If you fuck this man, hey. Will you please rock with it if you overstand? Hey. Yeah.
Homeboy, I came to party. Your girl was looking at me. She's a haggler, no, I'm not tagging her. But you don't want them boys to come over and start asking you what you wanna do, what you trying to do, what you wanna do.
Yes, yes. Once again, welcome back to the Man of Talk Show. With yours, Mr. Nas, and my man, Brother Dow. And then we got Sig online. We'll switch over shortly. Once again, welcome to the show. You know, before we even get to back to the topic a little bit, brother, I just want to say, first of all, I want to thank all the listeners. I want to thank all those who support us behind the scenes. I want to say thank you to all those who believed in the project. Big, big, big love and shout-outs going to my man, Brother Edward L. Fairley, and holding it down with the talk show that he got going down. You can check him out. You know, he's doing a lot of awesome things. You know, we believe in him. We love him. And we want to give a special shout out to my brother Eddie right there, of course, and his lovely family. No doubt. And then I'd be remiss not to thank my man, Brother Hassan Black. You know, he's doing a lot of good things.
I got a birthday.
Yeah, so down somebody in the back there. But big shout out to Hassan Black. I know he's on the check in. And you know, we appreciate all those listening to us down in Virginia, those listening in North Carolina. Oh, I gotta give a shout out to, we got some military in Afghanistan that is following a couple of ladies over there. They have I gotta get the name right, I'm gonna take a look at my computer, but they have been following us. So we wanna extend a shout out to all those in armed services. We appreciate you, we love you and what you're doing, and respect and honor you for what you're doing. And of course, you know, my brother Dow. Big shout out to you, my man for holding it down.
Thank you, my brother.
Can't forget about Raven. I know she's on the check-in.
Absolutely.
Raven, I know you're listening. What's up, Rave? No doubt. There's a lot of things going on here in Shadow World. We got the Game Strong talk show on Mondays. That's we're premiering the RAFL, the Recent American Football League. We're honored to be a part of that. That's going down. We'll be bringing back the house music mixtape shows. It was a great thing that we down Saturday down there. Shadow World represents my DJs down there. So Hassan Black's going to be kicking that off. And, of course, you know, we got, I don't know, brother. You want to wait to that announcement in the last 15 minutes? We're going to take about 10 more minutes out. No.
We're going to give it to him in the last 15 minutes.
All right, well, I mean, let me pull a cig back on, you know, because we're shutting the show down at 8:30 tonight because we got things we got to handle business-wise behind the scenes.
Yes.
Hello,
absolutely.
Sister Sig. Sister Sig, you online?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I where we left off at, you know, as far as about this recent vote that happened with the Supreme Court. Brother Dow, you want to let some listeners know, because I try to, you know, get a lot of our listeners to understand what's going on in politics and in the world that we live in. Can you please explain about this vote that happened with the Supreme Court?
Okay, the Supreme Court this week, I mean, it's been a unprecedented week for the Supreme Court. One of the things that came up for vote was the legitimacy of the 1965 Voters' Rights Act, especially one specific part of the Voter Rights Act, which is Section 5. I mean, Section 4, not 5. Section 4 basically states that certain states, certain southern states mostly, have to go before the federal government to make sure that anytime they want to change voter rights law that's not discriminative towards people based upon race, color, creed, or sexual orientation. You just can't change something in order to make it harder for certain people to be able to vote, to be able to express their opinion. And the only real power that we have as Americans, what separates America from a lot of countries, is the fact that we are a democracy. Now, our privileges, our rights as African Americans, there's three basic periods of African Americans in America. There is from the history, from the beginning of America, when they first started bringing us over here in boats and fine jewelry, from then to 1864, then there was 1864 until 1965, which was, okay, yeah, we're out of slavery, yeah, okay, but we had no rights.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, it didn't make a difference if you were freed or not, nigger. You're just a nigger. You don't work in here. You can't go to our schools. You can't eat at our restaurants. You can't take the same transportation as us. You can't go to the same movie theater as us. You can't do none of that, nigger. You got to stay in the nigger part of town and do like a good nigger does. And guess what? It's the way that it was. Plain and simple. You could just, it's just flat out like that. You know, get an education? Absolutely not. You know, could you go to the University of Alabama in 1935 and be a black man? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You could barely pick up the garbage on the lawn at the University of Alabama in 1935. Mm-hmm. Get alone thinking about attending it. So, the Voter Rights Act in 1965 basically paved the way for us to finally have a place at the table. It is the largest piece of legislation since the Emancipation Proclamation in this country's history. And that was butchered this past week in the Supreme Court. Sig, what do you think about it? I mean, frankly, I just think that it was butchered for all intents and purposes. You take the teeth out of the bill, then, you know, you just pretty much tell us it's time for us to start fending for ourselves. Now, Congress has the opportunity to place the bill back into effect, but the Congress would have to, and the Congress is now predominantly Republican.
Right.
They're not about to, you know, take power out of their own hands because most African Americans are Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So anything to make it harder for Democrats, they're going to do. And if they can eliminate our opportunities or our abilities to vote, there's two things that most Republicans do not want to see: African Americans and Latinos voting.
Of course not.
Two things they do not want to see.
Well, yeah, that's true. But they have to understand they've already lost the black vote. Republicans just gave it up. They don't have a choice on that. What they're trying to do really won't affect the black vote. It's going to affect the Latino vote.
Mm-hmm.
The rules that the different states want to impose will affect naturalized citizens or citizens trying to be naturalized, not necessarily the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hit a few people where, you know, hit a few people when they start saying all these requirements you had to have in order to vote. You got to have this, you got to have that.
Right.
When they start saying, now you got to bring your ID with you. And there are a bunch of older voters who don't read or write. They don't have an ID. They spend their entire life in their little areas not needing an ID. And, yes, it would affect them, and it will affect the Latino vote. That's the problem with the legislation now. They know that they will not get that black vote back. And what they're trying to do now is discredit the Latino vote because that vote put President Obama back in office.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. The Latino vote did play a strong part. So those listeners, please, listeners, if you're black, do not discount our brothers and sisters, the Latinos. Because without them, President Obama would not have been in office. I definitely agree with you on that one. And I've argued with this several times, which people say, oh, no, the black vote, no. Don't get it twisted.
No.
The Latinos helped put Obama back in office.
Yes, the Republicans did not win their vote, did not win them over, treated them like crap, and then tried to come in with a Hail Mary at the end. It did not work. And so they're trying to intercede from the same way they lost the black vote, by imposing new laws and putting restraints on people in certain states, because it's only going to affect certain states. And if you look at it, it's only going to affect those states that are heavily populated with immigrants. Those are the
votes. I think
it
was Arizona, Texas. I remember, like you said, you're absolutely right. I know Arizona was one of the identified states as well as Texas, and I know they have a high Latino population.
Right, and that's the vote that they're trying to – they can't win it, but they're like, to them, this is how I see it. And if there's a Republican politician that want to go toe-to-toe with me on that, yeah, we can do that. They're trying to intercede, to block, because I'm a person that's – I'm going to stand my ground no matter what. They're trying to block and keep from what happened with the black vote happening with any other minority group. That's what they're trying to do. This is their way to do their interception on that. If we, as a people, sit down and go for that, and we take that, it's not that we're shooting the black vote in the head, but we're going to discredit the Latinos. And any naturalized agent and any other minority, this is not a time for us to say, oh, it's going to happen to the blacks. No, it's going to happen to the Democratic Party. We need to decide that we want that party to stay strong. We need to decide that we want to stand on our soapboxes, that we want to yell at the top of our lungs, that we want to write our congressmen, that we want to blow up their telephones, email them to death. If anybody finds out their cell phone number, publish it. Because they actually work for us.
Can you legally do that?
No, legally you can't do that. Legally, you can do that.
Okay.
But like I said, publish it.
But guess what? But you can't wait. Legally, you can produce their telephone number in Washington or their
that telephone numbers are they're available. They tell you contact me here. This is my number to my office.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is contact them by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Write some letters, find out where they live, and shoot paper planes over into their yard. Don't get arrested. I don't do criminal. But I'm just saying, I'm always telling somebody to do something that I have to remind people I don't do criminal. Okay.
Oh, geez.
But I do have some connections. No, but on a serious note, my dad's going to kill me. So on a serious note, what I'm saying is, the people need to understand Congress works for us. And if we let them sit back there and make all those decisions like they don't, it's our fault. If we let them
run
over us,
I'm glad you said that. Now,
it's our fault.
I mean, you know, it's funny you say that about us letting them sit back and let these politicians make these decisions. How can we educate? I mean, and maybe at some point, a later show or another time, how can we educate our younger people? Not just come out and vote, but be a part of the political process. Because I hear a lot, I don't get involved with politics. But if you do not get involved and know what's going on, then they're making these decisions that affect our everyday lives. And you know, I agree with you. We have to stop becoming reactive and start learning how to become more proactive. How can we make that lesson? How can we do that? I mean, any suggestions, you two? I mean, what do you think, Dara? What do you think, Sig?
Grab them by the hand. Take them to that computer and don't let them play a game. Show them a political website. I do
that,
people all the time. Seriously, when somebody doesn't want to do something, you just take them there and be like, look at this, you know. And then the thing about it is curiosity will bleed over. And there, anybody who plays a video game with a curious personality anyway, they're going to look. They're going to want to read. And I encourage people to get involved from the lowest level to the highest. Get involved in your little local community meetings. Get involved in your little local town meetings. If you have time to go out and party, if you have time to go shop for a pair of shoes, and I can't believe I said that, if you have time to go talk to the politician, I'd rather shop for shoes than do anything. You have time to go talk to your politicians. You have time to go talk to your local city councilman. You have time to govern them because they're supposed to be governed. The problem is we as a people have become lazy and decide, we put them in office. They know what they're doing. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They knew how to make enough promises and tell us enough lies to get put in office. Now we need to hold them accountable for what they do.
I'll tell you one better, Sagan Dow. What if it's something that could be initiated in the school-level system, whereas our children are educated about the political process a little bit more deeper than waiting to get to college or making it a certain course study? I mean, what if
they're
we start making it mandatory and educate them in schools so they can understand
that you know
what's happening?
Oh, my God. Guess what? They're getting it. They're getting it. They're getting it, and I know because I had an argument with a bunch of doggone eighth graders about a process and a legal system. And I'm looking at them like, I wasn't in the mood, and my kids will tell you I will make up some shit. I was not in the mood for that conversation. They came at me with facts. And I'm looking at them like, where did y'all get this from? We learned it in school today. Really? Did I ask you what you learned today? But I was proud of them. I was so mad at them. They took me so out of my element. They are learning it. The problem is we don't know, apparently, because I didn't know. We don't know that they're learning it, and it's being dropped off. They're learning it as early as fifth grade. What we need to do as parents, as mentors, as people that even walk by and see a child, have a discussion with them about it. Just talk to them about politics.
A lot of schools don't have that. It's sad. A lot of schools don't have what that. I mean, it's very fortunate that you raise kids like that. I know personally
they have a class called government. I Googled it. I wanted to know how come these little kids knew as much as I did. I was upset with them. They have a class called government that they take for like 4 years straight. Those kids go to court. I'm telling you, they know what they're talking about. It's just a matter of whether or not it's like everything else we learn. I don't need to know this because I don't use it every day. They're not using it every day because they don't see people around them using it every day. But that generation is a generation that will set the pace. They're going to do their own thing. So I know that they know it. It's a matter of when you see a group of them together, challenge them on it. You will be amazed at the adult conversation you have with kids as young as fifth grade.
Wow.
I kind of looked at them and was like, oh, my God. Then I asked my kids, you guys say government? And it's like, yes, Mom, you paid for the books. Oh. I don't want to talk to y'all about it because my kids are mini-me's. No matter what the discussion is, they're going to take the opposite side. We're going to hold court. But the fact that I see other little kids and I talk to them, and it's not that they don't know. It's just that it's not being implemented. It's not being stressed. They don't see anybody else around them saying, oh, when I get home from work today, I got to go to this town hall meeting. Kids can go to super town hall meeting. I've seen some kids go to town hall meeting over an issue, and they stood up and said what they had to say, and I had nothing to say because they were on point because it bothered them, but they knew about it. It's about an awareness. This generation is a cool generation to me because they're aware and they know, and it's just about an opportunity. They just need to be provided with the opportunity.
Dow, what do you think?
Yeah. Here we go. Malcolm X died at the age of 39. Martin Luther King Jr. died at the age of 39. Most of your civil rights leaders, whether it be Mega Evers, whether it be Rap Brown, Stokely Carmichael, Huey P. Newton, when they got started, they were in their 20s or early 30s when they started taking up this mantle. When they started getting involved and they were in the forefront of these monumental movements starting in the 50s and going through the 60s. Now, once we got to the 70s, somewhere we thought we arrived. 70s and the 80s, we thought we're here. This is the mountaintop. Here we are. Life is good. You know, let's stop pressing. Let's just start living.
Because our generation is the lost generation, and we became complacent and thought that was okay. Fortunately for us, our kids came into technology, and their generation is not complacent. They don't think anything's okay. They're constantly looking for the next level. So we got politicians out there. I charge the politicians get involved with the younger generations.
That's what Obama did.
Get involved with the younger generations. Make them aware. Let them know.
Mm-hmm.
You do have choices, and it's up to you to make sure that what you want happens.
And a large part of President Obama's coalition was the younger demographic. It wasn't folks, you know, in their 40s and 50s and 60s. It was those who at late teens and early 20s that were like, why not? It's time for a change. White,
exactly.
Black, blue, gay, lesbian, didn't matter. They all said
it's
time for a change.
And the rest of them need to walk through it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these are the changes that are happening. I mean, like, okay, in the state of New Jersey, North Mayor Cory Booker is running for Senate.
Right, Lautenberg's seat.
Yeah, but yes, Frank Lautenberg's, the late Frank Lautenberg's Senate seat to try to finish out his term. They're having a special election this coming August. Come on, Jersey, let's get in there. Now, this is another brother who, you know, understands, you know, you have to reach out to the younger demographic.
Mm-hmm.
We as a people have to understand that, you know, we have to educate our youth. We also want them to grow up to be the people that they want to be. But if we don't show them the example of that first, how can I tell you that I want you to be X, Y, and Z, but you have no functional model to go after? You're telling me you want to be something that I've never experienced, I've never seen, I've never heard of before. But you want me to be that, but you're satisfied being where you are and how you are. Not saying that, okay, I want my child to be a doctor, so I must become a doctor. No. What I'm saying is that I need to strive to be the best me that I can be. And in me thus striving to be the best person that I can be, always willing to go the next level, to be able to take it from where I am to where I need to be. I'm not satisfied where I am right now. I need to go higher. That type of ethic, something that you hand down.
Okay, but I think part of our problem is why people say, oh, you can't talk to the youth today. Yes, you can. It's how you approach them. Because the youth of today is not that do as I say youth. It's that let's open a dialogue youth. And not necessarily to say, I want you to be a doctor, I want you to be a lawyer, I want you to be this, I want you to be that. But to open up, support their thoughts and their ideas. They may seem a little far-fetched to you, but you'd be amazed at where they can go with just that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or what they can do. You know, I watch people, I'm a people watcher. I watch people and I watch kids all the time. I saw a little boy when the iPod Touch first came out. He was 4 years old. He's walking the store going, Mommy, Walmart has iPod Touch. You need to get me that today. And I'm looking at him like, how old are you? He goes, 4. And I looked at her. She goes, what? You need to get him that today. For whatever reason, he needs that. Mm-hmm. I know it costs a lot of money, but he needs that. And I know that I'm like the worst parent in the world. Anytime my kids said I wanted to do whatever, I supported that.
Mm-hmm.
That's expensive because we all know they do it for a season. And then you see your money lying in the garage. Talk about, oh, Mom, that $3,000 saxophone. I hope my oldest son is listening on my $3,000 day. I decided I don't want to play that no more. You know.
Right.
But it's not about telling them, why don't you do this? People have a tendency to want to lead the kids down to aspire to their aspirations, not the child. Let them explore. Let them discover. Let them find out themselves. But the biggest thing we're talking to today's youth is, don't come at them to preach to them. Open up a dialogue with them. You will be surprised.
That's well said, definitely. Now, it's funny you guys are saying these things. I mean, it sounds like the whole political scheme is changing now. Because it appears, like you said, now, you know, a lot of people now more wise to the politicians. They're reaching back to the youth. They know that the youth coming up now is more savvy. You know, I'm not talking about the crackhead kid generation that came from the New Jack City era. I'm talking about the kids now. The young kids now, they are so intelligent. And, you know, I agree, sir. You know, my niece, my nephew, just some of the conversations that I have with them, they are so in tune, definitely. So I definitely agree, and it looks like the whole political era is changing because they're reaching to the young people. Young people are getting involved. You know, there's some that still needs help, and we just got to educate. So, I mean, this kind of ties it all together. I mean, it appears that us as black people, people of color, you got Latino people, we have some power. We have some power to make our situation more free in this land. You know, because the topic basically was, you know, in our land, are we free? You know, basically, we have the power, but we have to put ourselves in situations and positions to get the power back. We can't wish it upon. We can't say, oh, man, they're doing this to us. But, you know, we can't be part of the solution if we're not proactive about the problem. We can't be part of the solution. We just can't complain about it. So I definitely agree. Sid, you brought up a good point about being a part of it, you know, being more proactive, being involved with the kids, you know, being more a part of what's happening, our political stance, you know, talking to them more. I definitely agree with the fact that you said how our policies are reaching out to the youth. So I just think that, you know, us being proactive in how we act and knowing and trying to help one another instead of trying to act like, woe is me or the damn victim all the damn time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop playing the victim. You know, get your ass out there. Be a part of it. Stop playing it. If you don't know something, try to acknowledge yourself on it. Try to do some research on it. Find out more about it. Find out why it's happening. Don't, you know, hey, man, they just killing me in child support. Well, you know what, brother, you need to fix some of the situation. You know, if they're taking all this money out of your child support, out of your check, it's like that, go to the court. Do a down modification. Find out what's going on, because it takes two. So, I mean, that's just an example of being proactive. But I definitely agree with both of you guys. You guys nailed it on, you know, explaining that to the listeners. It takes, quick question, what's happening down there?
Down where?
Then they're down in your area as far as with all this, you know, I mean, for some of the listeners just tuning in, what's happening down there with all the you know, how you say, the outlook on this whole Zimmerman thing?
Okay, I just moved to North Cross, Georgia last week. I don't know anybody here, but I'll talk to anybody. I will talk to a polar bear, answer me back. So I was in the store earlier today, and I was talking to some people about it, and I love the fact that more people came to discuss it. Everybody's got mixed views on it. I like the fact that we had people that were supporting Zimmerman, people that were against Zimmerman. I like the intelligent conversation we were having. I don't think it was the neighborhood I was in because I went to the store in the hood. Like I said, I like hanging out in the hood. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. I've always had a few questionable characters as friends. Never know when you need a favor. But,
right.
And besides, those are some of the most intelligent people I've ever met. But the thing is, you know, everybody, it's not whether or not, you know, Zimmerman shot this boy. We all agree on that. Yes, he did. What should his charges be? Was it self-defense? Or did he just shoot him just to shoot him? You know, what was his whole point? Zimmerman has some issues. Did Trayvon have some issues in his life? Who doesn't? But the thing is, I like the fact that before we walked away from our conversation, we all said we'll meet back here when the trial is over to discuss the end.
There you go.
The reason why we started talking really was that we were all walking around the store with headphones in our ear, and a lady lost her signal. She's like, oh, my God, I'm trying to listen to the trial. I was like, me too. Here, you can just listen to mine. And that's how we all started talking. It was just amazing, the people of all walks and colors, and I don't think any of us shot for what we came to shop for. We just did, you know, we had that discussion for about an hour about it. And I think I'm going to like it here in Norcross, Georgia. I don't know how long I'm going to stay. But anyway, it's kind of cool.
You know, I'm sitting here looking at some of the blogging on this subject. Vinny from Naughty by Nature is chiming in on some of this stuff, too. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. This Zimmerman's getting threats all over the place. You know, and some of the people are saying, hey, look, you know, let's not be judgmental. Let the trial run its course. You know, and he's still entitled to his right. He's innocent until proven guilty. I mean, but the fact remains that he shot his boy, but, you know, this young man, excuse me, and let the trial play this course. You know, and I like the fact that he said, look, let's talk about this after. And if you guys don't mind, you know, when we have another show, I would love to discuss the results of that. Now, I'm going to try to get Vinny from Naughty by Nature on. I just hit him on the text. Hopefully he'll be joining us on that show to chime in. So he's heavy into the subject as well. You know, so I really want to hear from a lot of the listeners and stuff like that. You know, we really appreciate you, Sig, you know, coming on, just talking with us, doing what you always do.
Absolutely.
You know, they mean you definitely get a perspective. My boy from Brick City, the North, he loves you. He's on deck. He's always listening, but you know he don't like me putting him on blast with his real name. But just like that, because you know,
it's okay to be on blast sometimes.
It just don't seem manly to him. He's like, you know, man, I ain't gonna tell the brothers I'm sitting to talk show, brother. I don't do that.
Oh
no,
my God, why not?
No. It's just funny.
Talk to him. It's not just for women anymore.
Back in the courtroom, or we at the office, and they're sitting there talking, and he's like, no, yo, what happened to the show? What's happening this week, brother? I'm like, man, speak up. Nah, hell no. But
well,
he's
I'll be honest. My oldest brother listens. He's that 6'3", bodybuilding, Superman man, strictly alpha male. And first he's like, I'm not going to be calling in no talk show. But he listens. He listens, and as soon as the show's over, he's calling me. He's like, I can't believe you said so and so. And I'm like, okay, why didn't you call in and say this is her brother? She really acts like that. I can't believe you said that. So, yeah, I understand that. I get that. I come from a family of alpha males.
It's the brothers. The brothers sometimes don't want to be phone blast. I keep trying to tell, I even told Ed before, I said, sometimes if somebody don't want to call in, they just want to listen. Because you never know, because during this time, they just want to listen. I mean, whatever world they're going through, they want to listen. It's just some type of conversation or intelligent conversation, whether it's about relationships or whether it's just about life in general. They just want to hear real people talk. That's all they want to hear. And you know, he told me, listen, man, you help my day go faster. I mean, it's kind of cool because, you know, Brick City 911, listen, man, it's all good, brother. I'll see you next week, man. We can talk in the back of the corner like we always do. But, listen, I really love everything you're doing. And I think now is the time we let Sig know and Brother Eddie and Hassan and the rest of the world know what's going on. Dow, you want to give a presentation?
Okay, I'll gladly do it. Me and you, over the last couple of weeks, we have been in negotiations with another brother from a different mother, Mr. Daryl Joyner. Mr. Daryl Joyner is the owner and proprietor of 99.3 The Joint. It is an internet progressive radio station that that has a total urban flavor. We have been invited to join up with him and his staff so we can continue the brand of radio entertainment that we have been bringing you with the Man Up show and with the other shows that we've done and are doing. So now we're looking to take the next step up. It's about going to another level. So buckle up, y'all. We're about to go for a ride.
And the beautiful thing about it, will be housed in the actual studio in Jersey City, on General Square, the business district. So we will be in the studio, and you know, it's a lot of things going on. We also, along with that, you know, I just spoke to with Brother Dow. He's hitting Texas. I know he's been listening to the show. Big shout to Dow and this joint, 99.3.
Big shout to them. They also in negotiations to set us up in the studio, video studio,
TV studio for the talk show, for the Game Strong talk show that will be represented for the Regional American Sports Network, which we will also be facilitating and running as well. You know, we're trying to make big moves and we're trying to get this money going. You know, at the end of the day, it's about the cash coming in. It's about the cash, too. So I'm keeping it real.
Wow.
I mean,
well,
congratulations,
gentlemen. Wonderful job.
It's you know, and of course, we've been pushing to the root of it. We have been pushing it, definitely.
Absolutely.
So, Brother Eddie, I know you listen, brother. We love you. We have been pushing it. They, you know, they're very excited. So, yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing, man.
You know what? You guys, I swear, you guys are getting ready to take off, but I'm trying to sit down.
We hungry. We hungry. It's crazy. We went to the studio, you know, we walked in there, we went over the presentation, but then I went in first, then I went in there. I mean, I think we was on the phone, Tom's called 2 hours, he was there for another couple of hours. You know, at the end of the day, they was like, look, man, let's merge this, you know, let's just merge this marriage, you know, it's going to go down. So 99.3, the joint, and Shadow Worlds Radio will be combining forces. You know, we're attacking New York heavy. By the way, New York, be ready because we're going to be bringing events into Manhattan. We're going to the media capital of the nation. We're coming hard.
We're on the way.
We're there now. We're world now.
I'm going to have to pop up at the studio and surprise you guys.
Oh, no. Oh, see, that's what you have to do. Now, check it out. Also, I just found out also in our meeting that it's in the works that we're trying to get the Super Bowl party going on in New York. So the Super Bowl's going to be in Jersey and New York area. And in New York, you do parties big. So that's in the works as we speak. So, you know, no doubt we're trying to make things happen. We're trying to, you know, incorporate everything that's going on to the root of it, because I know it's going to be going not just in that region of Virginia. We're going to be bringing it through the East Coast, West Coast, Northern and South or Southern region, and damn it, if you can get it overseas, check it out, because Brother Eric goes in. He goes in, he gets all in it, and he rapes, we call it rape the topic. You know, but that's what we do. But we're very proud of the blessings that all of us has been a part of. You know, Sig, you've been a giant supporter. You kept it real when, you know, some people get phony about it, and we love you and appreciate you for that.
Absolutely.
We really do, all day. You know, Brother Eddie always gets to the root of it on a lot of things, and we're just blessed to be around positive, strong people. I mean, I'm just really humbled by that. It's still a struggle, what we're doing, but we know it takes hard work to make money.
But it's good hard work, and that's what counts, and that's what matters. And I am just so proud of you guys. You guys are going to do great. Oh my God!
Oh,
I am this demon. Like, oh my God! These are my kids. They're growing up. Let me stop.
Yeah, I mean, I think on the Facebook page we put some of the studio pictures up there already. I know it's on Facebook. We got some of the studio pictures.
You know what? You
but,
guys kill me. I don't Facebook. I do not Facebook. I hate Facebook. But you guys are gonna make me Facebook. And yes, I'm saying that out loud. I'm very proud of Mark Zuckerberg. Wonderful job. Big ups to you. But damn, I hate Facebook. And everybody goes, like them on Facebook. I have to like
you
in person.
We'll get you a different account. You know, we'll give you a different name. Zimbabwe or something like that. We'll give you a different name. Zimbabwe. Mangunda or some crazy name like that.
Yeah,
and
as soon as I say something, somebody's going to go, that's sick. I know that's sick.
I know that's sick. You know, find her. No. Oh, and speaking of Africa, listen, I want to send our prayers to brother, powerful man of history, Mr. Nelson Mandela. He's in that coma state now. He's on life support. We pray for him for everything he's done. He's been a pivotal part in our history. Just because it's in Africa, he still affected us today. So
absolutely,
our prayers must go out to him, because now I'm praying over that man all the time. And so some of the haters, I don't care about the haters. Look, I still love our President Obama. I do. That's just my personal opinion. So I'm going to give a shout-out to our president. You know, that's me personally.
The thing is,
like,
if you're going to support somebody, if you're going to love somebody, you're going to be a true supporter, not a fair-weather supporter. You're going to support them through thick and thin. I love me some President Obama. Anybody don't want to kiss my entire black ass.
Exactly. I love that.
Wow.
And that's how people know it's me.
Man, no, but I had to give that shout-out because, you know, I'm tired of hearing them trying to take down our president. This man's been working his tail off. Trying to do it, and I think he's very fair and objective. Listen, there's secrets that's going to happen in America that, of course, he's not going to just let out, of course, but he's the president. He's the commander-in-chief of our safety. So why he ain't saying this? But damn it, you know he's in charge of the commander-in-safety of all our military. Of course.
Oh, please,
there's
a reason why your husband didn't tell you he was sleeping with your cousin. Next.
Oh, okay.
You want to know the stupidest things. Why didn't you tell us? Why should I? Because you're stupid.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't tell you.
It is.
So your reaction
it is,
now,
you know
would not keep a secret.
Exactly. I mean, we're well enough alone. You know, so listen, you know, guys, tune in. You know, we're gonna come with another show next week. We're going to bring our DJs back in the studio. We're going to have fun. We're going to bring back the Game Show show. We're going to also be on Mondays. Hopefully the transition, we'll make transitions. The transition smooth to 99.3 for the next couple of weeks. We are going to come to you next week. Is that cool with you, Dow?
Absolutely.
We're going to host the brothers, and we're going to go into the topic. But I'm going to do something I usually don't do. See, what topic you're interested in hearing next week?
You know what I really want to do? I
want
to ask you guys questions, and I want you guys to answer me. Quick answers, quick questions, and that's it.
Q&A.
That's all I want.
I don't know.
Because it's how people understand where a man thinks that they don't listen, and they need to know something about you. It won't be anything. I can't lie. My questions come off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I ask questions for a living. Be prepared.
Oh, I like that. You know what? Let's get a hold of all the brothers, and if we can be on deck for next week. And you know what, ladies, call in, ask a question. Now listen. Don't ask a question that causes our lives taken away. we'll answer questions. The number is going to be 646-478-4507. You know, so let's.
I want to say this: the point of the questions is not to dig into anybody's personal life or anybody's secrets. We all have them. The point of asking people questions, they're general questions. The whole point when you ask somebody a question in any relationship, you get to know more about that person.
So inside of a man's mind. So you basically want to ask questions inside of a man's mind. Is that
right?
That like when you're trying to premise? You know what? I like that. That could actually.
And it's not. And you know what? The true part about it is, because I do this all the time. It's not that the question is geared towards men and geared towards human. I just want to talk to men, and it'll give the women a chance to say, "Hey, my man thinks like that. That explains this. That explains that." Encourage women to call in and ask questions too. One question will prompt another question. I don't want to be the one asking questions.
Fine with me. Let's go for it.
Let's do it. So, ladies, if you listen to this show, next week is going to be open questions for ladies asking men. Ladies asking men, ask the questions. We're going to answer those questions next week. You know, we're going to get the brothers online. I'm going to see and get a couple other brothers. Sig, if you have any other sisters that want to call in, and ladies, if you want to call in, and matter of fact, we're going to get some women to call in. And we're going to have
this open door. I would like
for
women to call in. I have to admit, all my friends are guys.
But you know what? I think we'll make it happen. Right, Brother Dow?
Oh, absolutely. We can definitely do that. We can make
I just think it would be
concept.
Good. The question is just general all questions, right. So I'm serious about that. It's nothing like, why does my husband do this? It's not an opportunity to man bash. I don't play that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, in this situation, Okay, I'll tell you guys what I did. I asked this one question. I said, if you were getting married to someone at this age in our life, everybody was over the age of 40, would you be upset if she wanted to wear a black wedding dress?
First initial, real quick answer. No, for me, no. Darryl?
No, I'm good.
See?
Long,
and you know
long,
what?
Long time.
Let me tell you what my man said. Hell no, you're not wearing a black wedding dress. He said, it don't have to be white, but it's not going to be black either. You better go with something light like champagne. And I thought that was interesting to know, because if he'd asked me to marry him and he didn't know, I'd have showed up in this gorgeous black wedding dress.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it's a question. It's a question that, you know, a lot of people figure, well, you know, ask me. I mean, asking, matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to make a whole campaign this whole week of women just calling and just asking a question to a man. Question you always wanted to ask. I don't care if it's stupid.
It's
I don't care
question.
If you think it's stupid. It's a general
it can't
question.
Be stupid because you don't know.
Yeah.
It's a general question.
Ask it. Like
that question led
to
us talking about different ceremonies and different things, and we got to, it was a group of us online, we got to learn a lot about one another, and it was very informative. And that's how I do people all the time. I don't believe in Spanish Inquisitions. I don't believe in sitting down there and getting somebody's resume when I meet them. But in order to get to know anybody, I just ask questions.
You know what? That's the name of the show next week. Come and talk to me.
Yeah.
We'll open up with a little Jodeci. Come and talk to me, and that's where that's what it's going to be. Sounds good. Thank you, Sig. That's a very good topic. So next week, you know, we're going to be tuning out. All right, by now, we thank everybody for, you know, listening to the Man of Talk show, and we welcome you guys to the transition as we go into the 99.3 joint era with Shadow World, and we just do a lot of great things. You know, check out To the Root of It, my brother Edward L. Farrelly, and we will see you next week. You know, come and talk to us. So tune in next week, same time, and stay blessed and love to everyone.
Peace and God bless.
God bless.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week.
You too.
What is wrong with you people?
I can see.
Can't you be quiet for one night?
2, 1.
We're going to break the table tonight.
Shadow, 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 shadow.